find the word
joy, we will have to look back Wednesday night to some of those definitions, and we'll keep talking about that. Two different words for joy. One is a secular joy, one is a religious joy, spiritual joy. You know, natural man have natural joy or whatever. Nothing what the joy we're speaking of biblically. It's nothing of the joy that we speak of biblically. The title of our sermon is Joy That Is Enduring. That's a joy that he was talking about in John, the 16th chapter, the 22nd verse, that he would give us joy and no man can take it away, that joy. It's kind of, this week, someone was telling me about, they let somebody steal their joy from them. I want our members to be strong enough to where people don't come along and quench your fire, take away your joy. That you may need to read, study, pray a little bit more. Our scripture comes from Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and the 3rd verse. And it reads, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy." And not increased the joy. "They joy before thee according to the joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." It's kind of a paradoxical statement there. It's not a contradiction of itself. The first joy that he says, and we have scholars, and this is another one of those hard sayings, because a lot of people say, well, that word not shouldn't be in the text. There's a lot of people debating whether that word not should be in the text, because we see it goes on after the semicolon there. It says, "They joy before thee according to the joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." See, just like in church, we have two different types of people. In the world, we have two different types of seed. The seed of the woman, which is the seed of Christ, but we have the seed of the serpent. We have the devil's seed. Some people are fleshly and carnal, and that joy of a happiness, a gladness, a cheerfulness that they experience is of the world. It's not long-lasting. Doesn't last very long. And that's why he says he hadn't increased their joy. They were happy that God had removed. You remember in that first verse it says the dimness. There was a light that shined forth. And it brought forth some light into the land. Looking at it politically in a secular way. The burden had lifted a little bit, and that's what the world likes, is when the burden is lifted up. And they were rejoicing, and that's where we get the B portion of that verse is, "They joy before thee for joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil," which we'll go deeper into next week in verse 4 there. In verse 4, as it says, "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be burning and fuel for the fire." You know, God is in the process of condemning sin in the flesh. And that's also condemning sin in the church. There are a lot of people in the church where that condemnation falls on them because they say they see, they say that they have light, but they don't see, they don't have light. They're part of the ones that's rejoicing. It's a physical rejoicing. It's a physical gladness and happiness. It's as if someone said, "Man, I'm so happy my team won the game. They won the Super Bowl. They did all these things." That's physical joy. That comes and goes. That comes and goes. Because next year they may not win the Super Bowl. You may be hating that same team they cheer in the courts this year. They may fire them next year for losing too many games. Those things are temporal. And the first point is, he increased the nation. The nation is going through some setbacks for some, and for some it's a time of prosperity. And I feel things will get better in this next year or two. But that's when all havoc could be breaking loose, because the ones that are spiritual are seeing the downfall of the nation. But the ones that are not physical, I mean spiritual, but are looking at it, they're looking at prosperity. They're looking at things that are happening. You know, sometimes, that's why I say I don't meet with a lot of people or be around a lot of situations. And but I see why the Bible said it's better to go to the house of mourning, to be at a funeral, or be around different tragic situations, because it causes you to think more deeply. But when you're rejoicing and having joy and pleasure, I've watched that many a time when I was younger and I was in the flesh, I was physical. My team, I used to be a Cowboy fan or whatever. And the people would be rejoicing or whatever, and Pittsburgh had a habit of coming back and snatching that apple out of their mouth. They were rejoicing and got too enthused what was going on around them and wasn't concentrating that this may not last, and Pittsburgh would come right from the back and put it to them. My brother was watching the game the other day. He stayed in from Atlanta. He said he was going to watch the game or whatever. And New Orleans was down, and San Francisco went down, and they showed it about 2 minutes left in the game, and Drew Brees and them got the ball or whatever. The stadium was rejoicing or whatever, and they scored. But there was a happiness for a time, and it was a triumphant feeling. But a few seconds later, San Francisco kicked that field goal. Their joy got snatched away. That's what's going to happen in the nation, because of the way we're bringing about the joy and the prosperity in the nation. It's the means. And if you're spiritual, if you are people of God, you would be studying and reading and praying, and God would be showing you. You wouldn't be rejoicing because your children get a job or they get that. You would be looking at the spiritual points of it. You look at the spirituality of it. A lot of people say, I got a new car, I got married. All these things, those are happy occasions or whatever, but like I said, Wednesday night I had to go into detail and explain the difference and the meaning of joy and happiness. See, because only a Christian can have joy. A person in the world can have joy. He can have happiness. He can be glad and he can be cheerful, because all those things don't last. Only joy lasts. And what is joy? I'll give you a definition of joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22, right? But the fruit of the Spirit, let's turn there before I get launched way off in here. Galatians 5:22. See, because it's not a work of the flesh. So if it's a fruit of the Spirit, that means that is something only God can produce. So the world can't have that. That's not for the world. It gives you joy that the world doesn't have. That means can't nobody quench that joy. It can't stop you from it. That doesn't depend on circumstances. See, the world's happiness, or what they call joy or cheerfulness, depends on circumstances. Galatians 5:22 says, "And now the works of the flesh are manifest, which is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions." Here it says envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings. That's what it is, revelings, having a good time, partying and things going on. Those are works of the flesh. But it says, hey, but I tell you, as such like of which I tell you before, if I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, gentleness. Why is it love? Why is it joy? How can I sit down and watch a football game watch Oklahoma's play? Jalen Hurts plays there. How can I sit down and watch a football game in Alabama, watch anybody play, and have joy in that game, and other people of the world not have joy? It's because they got a dog in that fight. I don't have a dog in the fight. I enjoy football. So it don't make me any difference who wins. It doesn't make me any difference about my children. I love them all the same, and I have joy or happiness when each or any one achieve anything. But if they have a spirit of the world of competitiveness, or day to night just with more, are they out trying to outdo one another, outshine one another? It's that spirit of competitiveness. And see, the world don't have that, and God doesn't give it to the world. That's why sports, I stopped watching sports because there's no joy in sports anymore. That's where the word sportsman's conduct comes. Sportsman-like conduct. After the game, man, they used to walk over and shake each other's hands and love and enjoy. Said, man, that was a good game. Man, we played a good game. But you see the boxers, after they fight or whatever, they stand in the ring and enjoy stuff because it was all just the love of the sport of the game. Yeah. But now, it's hatred. It's vitriol. Your fans want to kill the other fans or destroy the court, or they hate and talk derogatory about the other person or whatever. No one says, man, I just enjoy the game. I love to see the pulling tackle. I love to see that guard when he dropped back and opened the hole for the... But it's so self-centered. Everybody's thinking, and they're thinking about one player or what one guy did. It's all about Breeze. It's not about the rest of the Saints. Well, you no longer have a team. You have an individual. Bridgewater was winning for the Saints while he was there, but they was consistently talking about Drew Breeze. Well, how many games you won with Bridgewater? He's doing the same thing that Breeze do. So you have respect to a quarterback, so you can't enjoy the game anymore because you're not going to be happy with the Saints winning until Breeze come back. Bridgewater, what's his name? Teddy Bridgewater, whatever his name. He's winning for you, but you're looking for Breeze to come back. You can't enjoy what you have. You like Adam. God has given you all these trees to eat from. Instead of you being happy to eat from that, you want to eat from the one God told you not to. You got a respect of preacher. Some preacher come in to preach God's word or whatever, but I like Apollos. I like Paul. Paul say, are you yet carnal? God give it the increase. Well, God give it you joy. And if God had given you joy, you would rejoice and be happy at all things that's happened. Because he's sovereign. He's in control. That's why Paul wrote in Philippians, rejoice always. But we can't rejoice always because sometimes we have problems and circumstances and we whining and crying about something wrong somebody did us. Yeah. Well, if God's sovereign and provident and he has providence over all things, doesn't God understand that and know that if he's with you? So we should rejoice in times of weakness and bad things. Amen. That's why Job says, he's going to serve God. God give it and God take it away. He still was rejoicing even though he was losing all.
Oh, yes.
In suffering, in pain, in heartache, he was rejoicing in the Lord.
Yes.
That's where your strength comes from, is in the joy of the Lord. So for the joy that was set before him, and what was the joy? God had promised him in the kingdom. He had promised him God's word was all these things that he was going to give unto him. And that's why he endured the suffering. He endured the heartache.
Yeah.
See, if you don't have that, and that kind of joy comes only through God, it's a supernatural joy. Like I say, the world don't have that. You can't lose the game and still love and rejoice with your friends and go out and drink together and talk together. See, because you've made it personal. You've taken it personal. You have hatred. You have bitterness and grouchiness and complaining about yourself. The prosperity will be shared by those in the nation, but not as under the government. In the book of Joshua, the 22nd verse in the 8th chapter, and it says, and he said to them, return to your tents with great riches and with very much livestock and with silver and with gold, bronze, iron, and with very many clothes. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers. So when the nation is prosperous, I'm happy for them. This doesn't necessarily give me joy because I'm thinking they got this the wrong way. This nation is getting it by hatred. The leaders of this nation are spewing vitriol all over the place. They're spewing division or whatever. They may have prosperity come a time, but it's not going to last. It's not from the Lord. And that's why He take it from some, and that prosperity is shared with others. Sometimes he take it away from the wicked. And if this nation is part of the wicked, there will come a time when God would take that away. They were rejoicing, and the Roman government was rejoicing at the crucifixion of Jesus. But notice that he came back and took away the Roman government. It looks like there was a victory for Rome with Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. But it was victory for Christ. He was doing something spiritual at the time. But they were physical, and they saw the physical ramifications of what was going on, just like the Jewish people did. That they say, well, it's better for this one man to die for the nation than for them to come and take away our ruling power, what we have. And that's what this party, the Republican Party, as Joe Scarborough was saying, has become corrupt. One ideology, one person within that party has brought a spirit into that party that's going to destroy the whole nation. And we're not even seeing that. How many spiritual people see that the church is united behind that? I didn't print that article about that you told me about the women. I just edited some of it out or whatever that John MacArthur spoke the other day about Paula White and some of the women evangelists and the people we have in the churches. See, because the churches is just as blind and rejoicing and having joy at this time, but they're part of the problem. And judgment begins at the house of God, we must remember. So, the second point is physical joy. We have too many unconverted people in the church. That's why you have the mega churches and everything. These people are unconverted. These people are not in the Lord. Everybody that called his name Jesus and called on the name of Jesus, not necessarily of God. Just because you do certain things, you're not necessarily of God. And everybody say, Lord, Lord, we enter into the kingdom of heaven. That we'll be rejoicing, but that of achieving something in the flesh is something temporal. And I told you about that verse 3b. The second part. They joy before thee according to the joy and harvest as in men when they divide the spoil. That's why Jesus didn't go back when Peter was talking. And Peter said, we were looking for you. He said, the people were looking for you. And he said, they were looking for me because I fed them and I healed them. They wasn't looking for the word of God. They wasn't looking for the joy that came from hearing the gospel. The repentance wasn't in their life. They wasn't changing. No, the Pharisees came out and hear John the Baptist preaching, but he told them, what did you come out to see? You vipers, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Hearing the word of God should bring something about in your life other than a physical manifestation of happiness or joy. There's a problem, and Jesus had to put his own disciples' focus back in the proper perspective because he sent them out two by two to preach the gospel. And they went out preaching the gospel. And they came back rejoicing. The devils were subject unto us, Lord. Ooh, the devils in faith. People, that's what you look at the churches. They were going to rebuke the devil. They always want to be on top. Jesus had to cool their jets for them a while. He says, rejoice not that the devils were subject unto you. What you rejoice about is that your name is written in heaven. That's what you rejoice about. See, you're rejoicing about things, after a while, that ship's going to turn on you. After a while, the devil's going to persecute you. He's going to catch some of you in the prison. You will be on the losing end. That's why I told you about the Beatitudes. That's a synonym for the word joy, and that's why he gave us the Beatitudes. But it doesn't seem like it's joy there. He says, blessed are you, or blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are, joyous of, happy of. Blessed are you when all men persecute you and say all manner of evil about you. But people don't want to do nothing, have nothing, anything to do with you. And didn't want to have anything to do with me. You remember I told you, a lot of people don't even visit me in my home, don't even come inside my home. They'll stand outside or whatever. But I'm going to let them steal my joy or whatever? No, I'm going to bring them something outside to eat. I'm going to show them and be happy with them. See? Because God says we have to be hospitable. But if we let that get to us and that bothers us and we're not praying for that person, we have the problem. We don't have the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Or we letting someone else quench our joy. Now you upset and bitter with that person and you slandering that person and other people and talking about that person. You need to pray for that person. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that treat you despitefully and wrong. That's what the Beatitudes are telling you, aren't they? That's what the Beatitudes, when people do wrong to you, when people work all kinds of wickedness against you, that's where your joy comes from. Where did Paul and Silas' joy come from? They counted it joy to be whipped and cast in the prison. They sung songs. They was rejoicing because they counted a pleasure to be done wrong for Christ's sake. See, they had joy. And that's why he said, I'm going to give you joy that no man can take. See, but if you allow somebody to treat you a different way and not, that makes you unhappy, unjoyous. So you just only had happiness or cheerfulness, and that can take away. But for the joy that was set before you, and that same joy is in the promises of Christ, because the joy of the Lord is my strength, huh? So if that's your strength, what you're rejoicing about is what God had promised to you, because those same promises he promised to Christ is our promises to stand up on. That's what we inherit. So that's why we love our enemy, is for the joy that's set before us, because these commandments, they're not grievous unto us, because he had given us the ability to withstand and go through these things. Or either you're just quoting the scriptures haphazardly when you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Oh, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you can do all things through Christ can strengthen you. But Pastor, I can't just take nobody saying that to me or doing me this. But I can't do this. But they did this. Get your butts out your way. That's the problem. Your butts in the way. What did the mayor say? Whatever he say, do, do it. See, they come and hear the word, but can you do the word? It is already finished. We just do it the way Christ did it. We walk therein. He had made that way. The reason we do this, there are those who come and hear the word, and they were with Jesus, and then Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh, and drink of my body, drink of my blood, you have no life in you. They went the other way. They said, this is a hard saying. You say, who can do that? They went the other way. Sometimes God's word will be hard and it's going to be rough. But what we are to do, we're to ask him to give us understanding, to give us the ability to do it. And though he slay us, yet we will serve him. Right? That's how it goes. This is not an easy road. This is not an easy task. It's going to require sacrifice. Tell you another Wednesday night about me and this lady that were talking or whatever. And they had been married. I think they had been married 50-some years or whatever. And I was telling them we had been married 39 years. Well, you don't stay married that long without making sacrifices. Sometimes you're going to be right and you're going to have to just hush your body. You're going to want to do something and you might not can do it. Allow your spouse to do it. See, because one of the definitions I gave you about joy is doing something for the other person. To see the happiness of for the greater good of others. And that's why his joy is fulfilled. In seeing his children walk in the word of God, because it required him to make sacrifices. And so for future good, we suffer what's going on in the world. So at what cost is government cutting, or what's going on in the government is having up on us? You know, I don't know what y'all read or study or what y'all are doing. A lot of people say, well, they're too old to do this, or they're too old to do that. Well, maybe so. So maybe the Spirit's not working in you. That's why I say, joy of the Lord is your strength, and that's what spiritual strength in you. And that's why I say, only born-again people can have joy, because if it's a fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit, the sap comes from the root. We have to be rooted and grounded in Christ. And He has to give us that ability, and we have to be planted deep in sucking and taking heed and abide in the vine, abide in Christ, for Him to give us that ability. So, I don't know how many of y'all read about after the tax cuts, after what the president did last year, the Trump administration did, that Social Security wasn't on as firm a foundation, and they began certain cuts. And I don't know if you studied or was reading news what the Trump administration is trying to do now. They just go cut a lot of them, trying to cut millions off that are already on through reassessment and reevaluations of according to the permanency of their disabilities. And it's going to affect untold millions that are on SSI or whatever. And they gave the different statistics of those that are on SSI and the incomes and whatever. But what happens is, we're so happy and rejoicing of what we have temporarily. A lot of people don't complain till they get cut off of a program because they didn't see it coming. They didn't go to the meetings. They didn't stand up. They wasn't actively involved. That's because, like I say, they're happy with their internet. They're happy with what's going on. So they just watch television until they come and cut it off. Because you're not seeking the Lord, you're content in the world. Now, that's another word for joy, is contentment, because that's what Paul said. He's learned to be content with such that he has. But let me not go way off on that tangent there right now. But what happens is, they have the AARP. I'm a member of the AARP. That's a group of older people, retired people that fight in Congress and everything, because the politicians do look at polls, and they do have no numbers. And when they go to fooling with Social Security and certain things, there are certain groups that rise up, and they'll end up not being reelected or whatever. But the AARP is writing on this or whatever. So what are you doing in your spare time? Do you belong to the AARP? Are you listening at your councilman or someone else or whatever? Or is it all about pleasure and joy and the pleasures of this world? You know, watching sitcoms and television and different things and not in getting involved in things that are in the world. See, because that's why he left you in the world. And there's a lot of people fighting or whatever. And you see these people fighting, standing up for these programs. So a lot of the old people are not idle. They're paying $9, $10, a few dollars a month to support AARP or some of these programs that are fighting for their natural rights now, because you do need these entitlement programs and some of those other programs to survive. So if you're not helping from that, from a stage, it's just like being in the church, not paying tithes and offerings or whatever. If you're not a paying member, you're not laying up treasure there, you may not be able to draw from heaven, right? If you hadn't put in tithes and offerings or put in time with the Lord, when it comes time to pray or come time for something from the Lord, you don't have anything in the bank. Well, what happens when you can't get anything from your retirement, from AARP, if Social Security and SSI is turning you down? You know, a lot of these programs, you have to get a lawyer and everything to get onto these programs. But what happened when they changed the rules and regulations? As you remember, I told you that cut my wife off of a Medicaid program she was on a few years, last year or whatever. But God came in at the right time. God's always at the right time. It was after the fact that she became eligible for her Medicare. So these things happen, but you also, that's what I say, but you have to also, well, I got mine, that's just me. No, but how about your brother and your sister? It doesn't give you a certain amount of satisfaction or joy or happiness to do something for somebody else. When you able or have the ability, and that's what the Bible tells us why we should work, that we should be able to help others. We should be able to do something for somebody else. You never can help nobody else. All you can help yourself, that leads to self-centeredness. But it gives you a certain amount of joy, accomplishment, the knowing you putting in and your church is growing and the finances and things, that they're talking about you. You might be just like the little widow that's putting in two mites, but by those two mites, that was giving more than the rest of them gave because you did that which was required of you. Right? So when you able to give or do for somebody else, doesn't that give you a certain amount of happiness? See, in the spiritual realm, that gives us a certain amount of glorifications before God. That gives God the glory to be able to reach out and those that's feeding the needy and feeding the others and doing all these things. And I was talking to someone the other day that feeds and go around and doing these things, and they were saying that they were getting tired and they were going to have someone else to help them or whatever. Well, there is help, and God have others to step in or whatever. But see, the thing is, if you're suffering burnout in it, if you're suffering burnout, it's not from the Lord. It's not from the Lord. If you're being burnt out in certain things. See, because you doing it under your own strength or your own weight. That's why I say if you're giving to the poor and you doing it to be seen or doing it for your glorification or whatever, after a while you're going to be just like those people that you're giving for. See, a wise man, if you're a spiritual man, you're not just giving to be giving. You're giving as the Lord is directing you.
Yeah.
See, but after a while people get tired and burn out on these things if it's in the physical. People get tired of coming to church if they're not getting anything out of it, if they're not feeling the right thing. But if it's spiritual, if it's from God, you will continue on to do it. You don't burn out on church. You will come all the time and you're looking for something because he had given you a hunger or a joy that he doesn't necessarily have to show you anything because you're walking by faith. It's by faith and grace. Even though you have hard times and bad times, you still display that joy or happiness because it can't be taken away from you. But see, some people come into church with just put on a happy face, act like, well, what's wrong with you if you have to put on a happy face, you don't have a happy face? That means that it's been taken away from you. And that's why when you ask me, how was my day? And I always say to you, it's the same. Because you should be so balanced no matter how much tribulation, even if it's raining and snowing and cold outside, it's still a good day.
Amen.
It's a wonderful day. The Lord woke me up this morning and sent me on my way. So, as long as we're looking at the Lord and walking in the Lord, that can't be taken away, and it's not seasonal. Christmas is seasonal. And they look at it, this is, you know, Christ was born. Well, you can only rejoice on Christmas Day because that was the day Christ was born. You can't rejoice in October. You can't rejoice in June or July. You got to wait to get into the Christmas spirit. If it's a spirit and I have a Savior that's born, that's in me every day because he rises in me every day. I'm happy each day that a Savior was born. Well, you're into the Christmas spirit. So I got to wait to a time of year to get into a spirit, huh? And you know, that spirit comes and goes. Some people are not so happy if you're not bearing gifts. If you don't have something for them, it comes and goes. So Christmas, that spirit they have, the spirit of Christmas or whatever, is something that was invented. And that's what I say. That's why I don't think Christ had anything. He didn't set a day like Christmas. And that's why I said he told us to enjoy the feast, that we should always have that festive spirit. And that's why I read you Nehemiah 8 and 10. You should go back and read Nehemiah. That's where that comes from. That he told them to eat and enjoy what God had given them. That was part of the fruit of the spirit. And that's why I say, if you serve in the Lord, you're never hungry. And that God's going to give to those of his, and then you're going to share that giving with others. So if you gave that which was required of you to the Lord, then you're able to enjoy the rest of that with other people or whatever. physical. To rise up against those workers of iniquity who are portraying themselves as angels of light. Remember I told you it was two groups of people in the world, in that some were of the wrong spirit or whatever. And there are different groups of rejoicing because of prosperity in the nation. It's different groups that are rejoicing because of prosperity in the church. It's different groups that, but there's two seeds in the world. So a lot of times you need to know the intent or the reason why people are doing what they're doing or whatever. But God's causing no separation. He's causing us, his people, through the spirit of through the fruit of the Spirit, he gives us discernment to be able to tell about those that are around about us. In the book of Luke, the first chapter, in the 79th verse, it says, the light was also given to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, as that light's arisen, we look at it in the 23rd Psalm. Though I walk through the shadow of death, I shall feel no evil. Though we're here, we are in the same world with others, and it rains on the just and the unjust, it's to guide our feet in a straight line into a way of peace and serenity, whereas that's what the light does for us, but to others, it hardens their heart as he did Pharaoh. Preaching can harden your heart. Going to church can harden your heart. That's why he told Isaiah to preach and they won't hear. See, because it's nothing worse than hearing the word and not understanding the word. And acting upon the word and doing things as if you know and don't know. See, that's where, that's the amen. That's a good amen there, because some people amen and don't know what they amen. And they saying they understand, and what they do, they harden themselves in that because of pride or whatever. And I'm not motivated by noise. You know, a lot of people, and that's why a lot of people got away from the Baptist churches, because a lot of people make a lot of noise, and when the preacher's yelling and yepping and everything, but there's a lot of people sitting there listening on what he's saying and paying attention. When they come out, they say, well, what did you get out of it? Did you understand or whatever? They don't even remember what they heard, but they was the very ones that was the loudest and making all that noise, but they didn't progress from it. God had closed their eyes. He said, they go hear and not understand. They go see and not see. It's like Pharaoh, the preaching was hardening their heart. And Isaiah had that ministry to, his preaching was going to harden the people's heart until they be destroyed. And see, that's what I'm saying about the churches today. The churches that are following this administration, the mega churches and all these people, it's hardening the people's heart in unrighteousness. That's why they came after John MacArthur, because John MacArthur said, no, the gospel gives no way for a woman to be preaching and teaching. And when you empower women, you disempower men. Weak men is a danger to all other men. And see, but the feminist movements don't like those things. The strong women don't like those things. And that's when I told you it was a good amen, because when Paul said the women should keep silent in church, he didn't mean the women couldn't speak or say amen or do certain pray or do other things or whatever. He said the women shouldn't lead. He specified, he cleared it out. He said, I suffer a woman not to teach or usurp authority. And notice that the women are going for the power place. They want to be the leaders now. You don't hear fights about women saying about being ushers or deacons. They're fighting over whether they can lead the church. You know, you have a shortage of plumbers, they say. But 90-some percent of the plumbers are men. They're not fighting for the jobs like that now. They're not looking for equalization in jobs like that. So it's about the power. And that's why in Revelations, when he said, you suffered that woman Jezebel to teach and seduce my servants. You see, so a lot of people are joyous about women's rights or whatever. but it may be the wrong joy. It's going against the word of God. It's a joy that's not coming from Christ. Where is this emanating from? That's why I say you have to have discernment. I stand with MacArthur on those things now. Now, just because a person agreed with a person in one area, that don't mean he agreed with him in every other area. But the Bible, that's why he says, with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation. You should be able to walk in such a way that I can't get you to understand or know God. Only God can do that. It's a personal walk. That's why the division's going to be in your home. Between the spouses, between the children and everything, because you need to know God for yourself. You need a personal relationship with God. You can't say the pastor, you can't fault anybody else for your messed up relationship with God but yourself. Now, I can help reinforce it or strengthen it or encourage it, and that's why he had put the church there and say, forsake not the assembling of together of yourself. But see, you can send the church off the rails if you want to. Not the true church of God. But that many that say to me, Lord, Lord, and they're going to be led in the wrong way because they're going with what's popular, what's joy, what's happy, what's feeding the flesh. And we can't continue to try to feed the flesh. He says they know not the way to true peace. The way of peace they know not, and there's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked at paths, and whosoever go in therein shall not know peace. If we don't know peace, he don't know joy and serenity. And the way this nation is walking. The other day, you didn't heard of Greta Thunberg? I think that's the name, however you pronounce her name. She's this Swedish young activist with climate change and everything. She has a disorder there, a psychological disorder, that sometimes a speech comes over as being angry or whatever, but she's a really wonderful child, really wonderful young lady. But it seems sometimes that it seems like what she's saying, if you ever notice her speeches and everything, that it's full of anger or whatever. No one in this, a lot of us hadn't, Michelle Obama spoke up for her and told her, don't worry about the doubters and the people that speak against you. Because our president is consistently mocking and deriding this young child. And they were so effused the other day because a woman made a pun about his child. And the president's wife spoke up and said something today about this Greta and that her child, that he wasn't an activist. But here we have the spirit of this nation. We are allowing ourselves to be carried away by competitiveness, rude and harsh speaking or whatever. If we arise over China, if we rise to prosperity, doesn't the means count how we got there? See, because the Lord says, if you lay a stumbling block before the poor, before the lame, before the disenfranchised, if that person's handicapped or having a problem and you laughing and slighting that person and talking about, you can get up on top if you want to, but you're going to have to reckon with God sooner or later. The joy you have at top is only temporal. That she may have a problem, but you're going to have a bigger problem with God. If you lay a stumbling block before the lame, before the blind, God tells you about that in his word now. See, the joy that was set before Jesus Christ was to defend these, to stand for these, and that's why God says, blessed are you when men do all manner of evil and wrong against you now. That's where their joy from, and that's what encourages her. And when people like Michelle speak up for it, other people that speak up and encourage you during times that people that are popular or whatever, the crowd's going against you, glory be to him. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 3, third point. The same promises that were set before Christ are embedded in our minds. In Hebrews, I tell you, it was. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily besets us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us. Notice that he's talking to each one of us that the problems and the things that's going on within us, we have to lay them aside. we have to get rid of them. We have to repent. We have to come to a place of self-examination, self-introspection, and run this race. And this, let me go on about this race now. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If they did it to the green tree, they'll do it to the dry tree. If they've done it to him, they'll do it to you. Don't let no one take you. The joy that's set before you, no one is able to take that joy. No one is able to quench that fire. But you're able to do it. You're able to walk away from this. You can receive the grace of God. That light could become dim. You could allow others to allow you to become dull of hearing. It says, you have not resisted a striving against blood yet. So as I told you what he told us, what we say to one, we say to all. In Nehemiah, he says, then Ezra said to them, go your way, eat the rich festival food, drink the sweet drink, send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. So, the holidays are coming. Enjoy those holidays. Enjoy those times. I'm struggling. I tell you, this is the best time of year to buy something at Black Friday. But don't go in with the temperament other people have or whatever. Don't go in with their attitudes and everything. Because they may have been robbing God to do these things, but God had set it up that he wants you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. He wants you to enjoy it. So I went to the store the other day. The only thing I was going to the store was to get a dryer. You know, because I'm tired of lugging clothes back and forth or whatever. I went to get a dryer or whatever. But my wife's in a living room suit, a partial living room suit, a sofa. And it was on clearance or whatever. And the sofa didn't match the love seat she seen that was on clearance. And it wasn't, you know, it was made of pleather or something. You'd heard of pleather? It's not leather, but it's like leather or whatever. And it was a nice living room suit, but like I said, it was on clearance. So it was a missing match or whatever. But she paid her tithes and offerings and live, and a lot of times, Sister Jackson is not me. And some mornings and days she come in here, she fall asleep in here or whatever, because a lot of times she's sickly in health or whatever. And a lot of times I press pretty hard or whatever. But if the joy of the Lord is your strength in everything, there are those, and he, as I told you in Nehemiah, that he says, enjoy the fruit of your labor. God had given you the ability to enjoy things. If you have extra, there's nothing wrong with sitting there watching a football game and watching it with friends or family or whatever. I think Don Ray is in a pretty good situation here. And my nephews and different people around him, they rejoice. So in a time when he's sad and sorrow and despondent, what he has to look at is that God's being good to him and that he should rejoice in the Lord and be strengthened in the Lord, because the Lord's still looking at him and taking care of him. Though he's in a time of sorrow and joy, he shouldn't sorrow too much, because the Lord's still being good to him and there are much better days ahead. Amen. So as she was passive and was going to go for that or whatever, as I walked out, and the young man that was talking to me or whatever, and he said, well, look, I tell you what, we got a deal on this, or we can get a cut a deal on that. And it was a living room suit. And it was genuine Italian leather. And it came with a gift card. It came with a 55-inch television. So, by being passive and looking unto the Lord, in accepting. You remember I told you, Paul said he had learned to be content with such as he has. Mm-hmm. He learned to be abased and he learned to be abound. Mm-hmm. See, when we start learning contentment, when she was content
just to receive that. Are you content with the little house God give you? Are you content with just a little room God give you? Are you content with things God give you? When you learn contentment, to be content that which you have, then you leave room for God to open up and pour out the windows of heaven upon you. Because you're not being abased. I mean, you're not being covetousness or greedy. Adam wasn't content with what God had given him. He wanted more. So by reaching for more, he lost what he had. See, but if he'd have been content saying, no, Satan, God has done wonderful for me. And see, a lot of people have a good wife, have a good husband. They're not content with that spouse. They want another spouse. They think the grass is greener on the other side. Instead of thanking God for the wife that they have, thanking God for the spouse that they have, thanking God for the job that they have, they go seek another job making more money, or they seek something else. And that's when we lose our joy, because we're under a greater burden, a greater struggle. Then we lose the contentment and the joy we had because we're seeking it apart from God. That's your strength, is in God. That's the way. Not of competitiveness, not of trying to enjoy the pleasures of the flesh, but it's in God-given way. It's through the Lord. So there will be those that are looking for happiness, and that's why a lot of people say, well, the happiness have left out of my marriage. And if you've only been married 6 months or a year, yeah, that will leave. You have to go through the bad times and the good times, but you'll never be married 30 or 40 or 50 years just wanting to be happy. Who told you you're going to be happy? He didn't promise you happiness. He promised you joy. Huh? You want to be glad. You want everything. And after a while, it's going to run out. You know, that happiness and joy, she will get tired of you, or you will get tired of her. And you will be ready for them to go. And they're going to be glad you're gone or whatever. And the things they used to go for, they didn't want, because all the happiness, all the gladness done wore out. You bought that new car. You was happy. You was rejoicing. But now it's an old car. Now you want another car. So that car didn't bring you joy. It brought you happiness, and happiness is temporal. Mm. Gladness is temporal. Joy is everlasting. So if Christ had given you that, it would be just like my old truck. It gets me where I got to go.
Praise God.
And I'm joyous that he has me with a. Now, would I like a new truck? Of course I would. But it says, strive not for those things that don't satisfy. I have to strive for the kingdom of heaven. I have to walk in that way. And he says, I'll give you something that the world cannot take away. And he says, my joy the world can't take away. He can't take it away. No matter what you do to me. You see, joy, you can be sorrowful and still have joy. Can you understand that? Can you understand that? You couldn't be going home to a deserted house and still have joy. You see, because that comes from the tree. The root of the tree, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Long as you got Jesus, you don't need anything else. He is my joy, and I can do all things. I can do without, long as I got Christ. And that's why he says, you have to hate mother, father, sister, brother, because I'll be a mother for you when you're motherless.
Yes.
I'll be a wife to you when you're wifeless. I'll be a brother to you when you're brother. I'll be a friend to you when you're friendless. Mm-hmm. But long as you got Jesus, you have joy. And the thing about that joy, it's unspeakable joy.
Unspeakable.
It's unspeakable joy. You can't take that away. That's why they went, there were Mars in Christ. There were people that lost their lives in Christ because they wouldn't deny Christ. Don't you feel good if you put it all on the table and cheerfully give to God? I might not have any money. I done laid up on treasure. That's the joy that's set before me. Do you remember I told you joy was a promising of a future good that something will happen? I know it's coming. God then promised it to me, and he will pay me for the deeds done in the body. I might not have any money in a bank down here, but I got treasure laid up in heaven.
Amen.
You done laid the treasure up in that because you walked according to what God had told you to do. So that's why I say, loving your enemies should give you joy. You can't naturally do that, but God didn't give me the strength to love you that treat me like a dog. And I have the ability to love you. I have,